I've been looking at for the last three Sundays in the evening service. Again, looking at that section, that passage of Hebrews 12:14, follow peace and follow holiness. Pursuing holiness, helps to holiness, is the subject title of the evening services. And a bit of a review, remembering that the first Sunday that I looked at this, we were talking about living in the light, and then looking at living in carefulness. That careful living comes from taking heed, paying attention. And then we were also looking last week at that careful living is revealed by our appetite. Careful living is revealed by our conversation. Helps to holiness. What that really means is, it's asking a question perhaps within our own thinking, what will aid a person as they hunger for the things of God? What will aid a person as they pursue holiness or pursue righteousness? Tonight I want to look at another idea or another thought that goes with this thought of pursuing holiness, helps to holiness. This may be more of a classroom setting, so to speak. It may appear to be more or feel to be more as a lecture, and I hope it's not too dry of a lecture. But what I want to look at this evening as we look at this helps to holiness is an attendance to the means of grace. Attendance to the means of grace. The means of grace is a term, phrase that probably you don't hear very much of anymore. You probably don't. Some people, some of the younger set, probably don't even recognize it as a church phrase except the word grace. But the means of grace is something that has been a part of the Methodist church, and even prior to the Methodist church, and I'm talking about Methodist as in the Wesleyan mode, the Wesleyan direction, the Wesleyan doctrine, the Methodist church that he basically is considered to be the founder of. But the means of grace is simply that, means to grace, a channel through which we can receive grace. And tonight the focus, as we look at that, is not just simply the means of grace, but the attendance to the means of grace. In other words, us personally, individually, applying ourselves to come in contact with that conduit through which God sends grace. Now, if we were to try to define this term, means of grace, let me give you a definition that would come from Luther's Small Catechism, the Clausewitz edition of 1956. That doesn't mean anything to you, but giving credit where credit is due, it says this way, the means of grace, or by the means of grace, are meant those things by which God offers and gives his gifts of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. The means of grace, those things by which God offers and gives his gifts of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Wesley would expound on that. He would expand that to another step, another place beyond the point of sins, life, and salvation. And he would specify that not only these three things, but also sanctifying grace, which is our ultimate goal. That's what our ultimate figure is here as we look at this subject of helps to holiness. Now, I ask a number of my, or I just posed a question with a number of ministers, and I got some response, and Some of them were things that I was interested in, and some of it was just conversation in the midst. And let me share with you what different of our group, of our conservative holiness movement pastors, preachers, would think about when it comes to this attendance to the means of grace. Here's what a young fella said, younger than myself, I would say. I don't think he's a kid, but he's much younger than I am. He said, and they continued, quoting from Acts 2, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. This is what he had to say about that particular verse, Acts 2:42. The means of grace are the spiritual disciplines that God has instituted as a way for believers to grow in grace, such as Bible reading, study, hearing the word taught and preached, spiritual fellowship with believers, the Lord's Supper, fasting, and prayer. And they are attended to as we participate in them. I believe that he said that very well. Taking what the apostles began, what started with that New Testament church in the book of Acts, spiritual disciplines. Now, a pastor not very far from here said that he'd like to add something. He added church attendance, although he acknowledged that it was implied in what the previous person said of hearing the word taught and preached. However, this particular pastor was cautioning because we can hear the word preached online. But church attendance ought to be included, specified as a means of grace, because of Christian fellowship is also a necessary item in this means of grace. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the Hebrew writer admonishes us. There's something that's special about spiritual companionship and spiritual companionship in prayer with fellow believers. Now, this first person that mentioned spiritual disciplines needs to be specified here as well, because the means of grace is not something that's just going to come because. It takes discipline to bring attendance or to attend the means of grace. Disciplines, even though it's a discipline by duty, disciplining ourselves to attend the means of grace. One pastor that answered and responded to the question gave a long answer from Methodism, from the Methodist Church. And he said that in Methodism, the means of grace are always in which God works invisibly in disciples. I believe that probably would include you and I as a Christian. We are considered disciples. God works invisibly in disciples, quickening, strengthening, and confirming faith. So, believers use them to open their hearts and lives to God's work in them. According to John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, the means of grace can be divided into two broad categories with individual and communal components. Now, that's really making it broad for us, isn't it? Probably taking us a little deeper than what we care to go on a Sunday night. This isn't Sunday school. This isn't the college classes, but that's the way we would look at it when we think about this subject of attendance to the means of grace. And when we think about it on the individual side, individual practices would include works of piety. Now, again, that word piety probably has in a lot of our minds, especially the younger set, the word piety has a negative connotation, because we think of piety as something that is ugly or isn't really a beautiful picture. But pious, being pious, is a good picture when we think about it in the graces of God. So many times piety is used as some negative joke against Christianity or some person in their Christian experience, but really a Christian who is pious has the beautiful graces of God flowing through them. Works of piety. What would works of piety include? It would include some things that we've already looked at on Sunday night here recently, and that one of them would be that of prayer. Another one would be fasting. Another would be searching the Scripture. A fourth thing would be that of healthy living. Works of piety. What about communal practices? Things that you would do in a group setting would be Holy Communion or baptism. What about works of mercy that would be focused as a service from individuals? Works of mercy would include this area of graces that can be applied to a person, where a person can receive grace as a means of grace, would be these works of kindness, mercy works. You say, well, what's that? Doing good. Doing good. Visiting the sick, visiting the imprisoned, feeding and clothing those in need. And the old faithful saying of John Wesley from yesteryear said, earn all you can, save all you can, so that you can give all that you can. Works of mercy. Service that's focusing from an individual towards an individual. What about the attendance, the means of grace? We could spend a lot of time here. Let me skip over some of the notes that I have. But the means of grace would include, as I've already mentioned, prayer, private, family, public. Prayer would also consist of a deprecation or the expressing of the loathing of self, of the sinful nature. Prayer would consist of a petition, of an intercession, and it would also consist of thanksgiving. Prayer might not just be extemporaneous, where a person prays from the heart. Prayer also can be a means of grace for a person to have it written out, for them to write out their prayer and then read that prayer specifically. Some people think that writing or reading a prayer is wrong, but quite often, if you were to write out a prayer, you would be more specific in what you are saying. I'm not saying do that all the time. Don't bring a prayer with you to pull out of your pocket when the preacher calls on you to lead in prayer. That's not what we're looking for. But in your own private, quiet time, write out a prayer. Searching the Scriptures would include reading, meditating, hearing, attending the ministry of the Word, either read or expounded. That was one of the highlights of my childhood, going to Graham and Pap's house when it was time for the daily reading of Scripture that came over the radio. Alexander Scorby. My, I loved to hear him read. Don't hear him too much anymore. Other people have taken that place. But I'd love to hear him read. Graham and Pat made it a practice to listen on a daily basis for that. And they scheduled everything around it so that when that time came on the clock, they were in the living room with the radio on and had their Bibles open. I don't know that that's around in our area, if that's a possibility or not. But hearing God's Word read. How about fasting? We probably don't hear a whole lot about fasting, but fasting would be a means of grace, a conduit through which God can administer grace to a person's heart as they fast. What is fasting? Henry Knight, in his book, The Presence of God in the Christian Life, John Wesley and the Means of Grace, he said that fasting can be summed up with one other word, abstinence. Boy, that makes it broad, doesn't it? What does it really mean? What does fasting, or this word abstinence, how does it apply? It applies that we leave off something, that we separate ourselves from something in order to focus on something else. And in this context, we're talking about focusing on what God wants for us, or the means of grace, a channel through which God can supply us with that specific need. There's prudential means of grace, as Henry Knight would say, particular rules or acts of holy living, class and band meetings, prayer meetings, covenant services, watch night services, love feasts, so many things of a place where a person can attend in order to have that channel opening. There's a good bit of space applied in writing here of this means of grace to visiting the sick, visiting the poor, the needy, taking care of their needs. We will look at that just a little bit more in a little bit. But providing God with a channel through which He can speak to us or infill us or infuse in us a specific grace that we're needing. Brother Smith from God's Bible School is very knowledgeable in Wesleyan tradition, Methodism. And so I emailed him and asked him if he would point me in some directions and would give me some pointers. And well, you don't just ask a man like that without getting flooded with stuff. I mean important stuff, good stuff. His first comment about it was, yes, the means of grace is a fine old term that speaks powerfully to the channels of God's favor. He said, if we use them in faith, we will grow in grace. Now that comes across as a warning. If we use the means of grace in faith, then we will grow in grace. In other words, that if we are doing it for another purpose other than our faith and through our faith and a desire of grace coming, if we're doing it just to be doing it, then we're doing it in unbelief and we're doing it to no avail. A warning that I will probably give again at the end this evening is that we can lose sight of the grace and focus on the means, thereby creating within our own spiritual life salvation by works. And that's not what we want, because works will not save us. So he says it with reality, if we use them in faith, we will grow in grace. For though that grace may at times overflow the ordinary means of grace, in general we receive grace in the means that God Himself has appointed. And He teaches a class that's called Spiritual Formation Class over at God's Bible School. And from that He sent me a clip of some of the lessons that He gives on this subject. He said, God provides the means of grace. These are outward words and actions which He calls upon us to exercise in faith, such as prayer and Bible reading. For if we do them lovingly and faithfully, He will channel grace to us through them and thus strengthen us for the journey. He said, they are not magical or mechanical or magical, but rather His own chosen ways of giving help, wisdom, and victory to us. As we use the means of grace, we will receive grace. This use must not be merely occasional, spasmodic, or accidental, but deliberate, continuous, and throughout all of life. The means of grace, attendance to the means of grace. Now he went on to say and give an example. He said, these means of grace are precious channels of His goodwill and favor toward us. Explaining them, he said, Wesley used the hem of Christ's garment as an example. Your mind shifting over to that story? He said, it was not the hem which healed the woman of the issue of blood, but rather God's power issued in response to her faith. You remember that story? It's found in Matthew 9, Mark 5, and Luke 8. All three of those first Gospels have recorded that story. It was not the hem. It was not the hem which healed the woman of the issue of blood, but rather it was God's power issued through that channel as a response to her faith. Yet God used the hem as an outward means, as an outward means of conveying that special grace, and that is what he still does as we use the hem or the means of grace which he himself appoints. Now, if we neglect them, this is a powerful statement here. Brother Smith, I hope he knows what he's talking about. I believe he knows what he's talking about. But it's a powerful statement. He said, if we neglect them, if we neglect the means of grace, if we neglect the hem, we reject grace. That's astounding. If we neglect the means of grace, in essence, we are rejecting grace. And the God who supplies it. I don't think that that's any one of us, of our intentions this evening, is to reject grace or reject the God that supplies it. But just neglecting the means rejects. But if we accept them and use them with faith, we will grow and flourish. What about duties? What about these acts of duties? Or these things that can be done? He said that in everything that we do in life should be a means of grace for us. Everything that we do, even the duties that we dislike. Have you ever had to do something that you didn't like to do? It may be washing the dishes for mom. It may be taking out the trash for somebody, mom or the neighbor or whoever. Some duty that you didn't like to do. Had a member in the church in Evansville, had a nasty dog in the house. Wanted me to visit him all the time. It was a hardship. It was a hardship to go to that house. I like dogs. I really like dogs that are outside, especially like dogs that are outside in a pen or something like that. But dogs that are inside and I don't get along too well, especially that dog. Now, I've been around some dogs that are fine in the house. But that dog, there's sometimes we do things that we really don't want to do. We just don't care to. It's a duty. Sometimes it's a heavy duty. But everything that we do should be a means of grace. In other words, that what we do for somebody else is a way for God to channel something our direction. A means of grace. God specifically established in Scripture for our use 5 great means of grace. This is what Brother Smith says are instituted in Scripture. He said prayer, the Word, fasting, Christian conference would be Christian gathering, and the Lord's Supper. He also said that there are some added certain prudential means of grace which the church has established, such as Sunday school and class meetings and love feasts and camp meetings, etc. But again, I see as he's writing what he wrote about this, he said, beware of imagining you shall obtain the end without using the means conductive to it. It's not the means, but it's the end that we're focusing on. The means does not save us. Now, Wesley himself said that by the means of grace, he is understanding it to be outward signs, words, or actions ordained of God, appointed for this end, to be the ordinary channels whereby he might convey to me justifying or sanctifying grace. He said, I use this expression, means of grace, because I know none better. And because it has been generally used in the church, in the Christian church, for many ages. Which directs us to bless God for the means of grace and hope of glory, and teaches us that a sacrament is an outward sign of inward grace and a means whereby we receive grace. There's a lot of things. You can go home and read it. You can look it up online, Wesley's sermon number 16, The Means of Grace, and read it in its entirety. I think it's 12 pages long. But he talks in depth, I suppose you can understand, in 12 pages about the means of grace. He said, now get a hold of this, because we focus sometimes on some externals and we ignore some other externals. Wesley said, eventually maintained that visiting the poor, the sick, and the imprisoned was as much a means of grace as prayer. That may be hard for us to understand. How could it be? But isn't it what Jesus said, that as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me? He said that visiting the poor, the sick, and the imprisoned was just as much a means of grace as prayer and receiving the Lord's Supper. He saw ministry and life with and for the poor to be what Paul meant by working out your salvation. You know what I'm referring to there? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not that works will save us, but providing God a means of conducting grace in our direction. Going back to Henry Knight, he said the means of grace flow out of a relationship with God. A relationship with God. They serve to nurture and expand that relationship. They are the ways by which we make ourselves available to God and God's life-giving love in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. The ways by which we make ourselves available. This means of grace become mere formalism when practiced in the absence of such a relationship. In other words, if we are not doing it with the intent of grace being supplied to us and that there's a channel for God to use and work through us, then we are doing it again in the wrong way, with the wrong intent. It must come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. The means of grace, hunger and thirst for righteousness, follow or pursue holiness. Now let's sum it up this evening by going again to what Wesley said in his sermon. He said, first of all who desire the grace of God are to wait for it in the way of prayer. Apparently, that seems to be the specific point, a major point. There's so many other things that we can talk about and look at, but it seems as though that prayer is the express direction of the Lord Himself to administer grace. What was it that Jesus said following the Sermon on the Mount? Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Isn't that about the plainest of directions? Isn't that about as plain as it can get? Ask in order to, or as the means of receiving. Seek in order to find. Finding that grace of God, that pearl of great price, to knock and continue to ask and seek if we are would enter into the kingdom. To ask and continue to ask and to seek. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 7, and he's speaking to the heart of man. He's speaking right into the home, right into the very core of an individual. And he said, what man is there of you who, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask? Now, that's recorded that way in Matthew, but if you go over to Luke's gospel, he records it just slightly different. He says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? And Wesley wants to point out at that particular point that the people that he is speaking to here have not yet received the Holy Spirit. But the Lord, Jesus Christ, is directing them to use this very means and promises that it will be effective for them to ask and receive of the Holy Spirit from Him. We're talking about helps to holiness, attendance to the means of grace, attendance to the conduits through which God has already established grace to flow to the hungry in heart. It's not of works. We dare not lose sight of the end and focus on the means. The means of grace is there for that specifically, for grace to flow through. It's not of works, but it's the conduit through which grace comes. Let's stand together this evening.